This is CICK News. Today on CICK News, I visited Houston for a bit of a tour of Black Knot. No, it's not a heavy metal band, but an Apiosporina morbosa, which is a plant pathogen that's the casual agent of Black Knot, a funky-looking fungus that attaches to members of the Prunus genus of trees, such as Mayday, Plum, and Chokecherry trees that we would see in the Skeena region.
So this here is a black knot infected tree here. They're all basically Mayday trees that were planted many years ago. The Mayday tree is a beautiful ornamental tree that has gorgeous white fragrant flowers in the spring. And then they have a little chokecherry type fruit on them that the birds like. But unfortunately this black knot, as you can see, those are called cankers, all those big black blistery tarry looking thing. This tree is gradually dying. It will eventually die. Wherever the spores land, that's where the black knot begins. So it's not something that's in the tree root, or it's not systemic. It's more localized, but it eventually does kill the tree because as you get more black knot on the tree, there's more spores and it'll infect the whole tree.
That voice that you hear is Shirley Hamblin, the operations supervisor for Parks and Public Works in Houston. We're walking in the tall grass behind All West Glass in Houston near an apartment building where she was showing me what the fungus of black knot looks like on a Mayday tree. Shirley has been working to eradicate black knot fungus on the trees of Houston since 2018. She describes it as a key interest to get ahead of this spore-based fungus, and it's her goal to inform the public early enough in the year to hopefully stop the spread.
So we're working with a lot of private landowners to try and get rid of these trees, and that's why we put in a program this year to offer free pickup if they cut them down.
Okay.
That's what we started on this year, and there was a piece over here, there's a whole line of them. It's about four dump truck loads from this site over here, it was a whole head of tall black knot trees, and you need to cut it down, either prune the branches off where the black knot is on those branches, prune it back, or if they're totally infected like that tree, it was pretty well almost dead. You can see by the number of leaves, it's not leafing out very well.
Yeah.
Then you're better off just to cut it right down.
Okay. Why are they more susceptible? Why are Mayday trees
all the Prunus trees. It's just this black knot is the type of fungus that likes those types of trees. So it's good because it won't go on your apple trees. It won't go, but there are a bunch of fungus, they're called cankers, that the fungus will develop a canker. So each different tree species has different kinds of cankers that will grow on it. Unfortunately, this one has proliferated for the last 15 years or so. I don't know what it's due to, I think it started downtown or on some of these older properties planted, and then somehow one of these trees got infected, and then it's been gradually spreading out from town into the other properties.
Yeah.
And it's...
How young of a tree will black knot, will it find its way to any Prunus trees that it likes? Like, how young? Because I'm almost wondering are you speaking to nurseries then as well to tell them to look out for it?
Or I've asked one of our local suppliers of nursery trees to not bring them in anymore, because it's really, why invest in a tree to plant on people's property that is going to be susceptible to black knot? Because we're still, I'd say, at least 5 years away from getting this under control in Houston.
Yeah.
And the spores like to release during warm, wet weather. So May now, once it starts to warm up, it's cold today, but once it gets 60 degrees or better, then there's a warm rain, that's when the spores start to disperse. And they can disperse even if you limb off the branches. And the thing is, a lot of people up here, we can't grow the sweet cherries, but we grow a lot of the sour cherries, and people like those cherry patches too that people like to harvest. And there's some plums, even ornamental plums, that we can grow here. But if we don't get this under control, then none of those things that we would like to grow here could be growing, because it'll just be 4 or 5 years. It's a matter of time. Yeah.
Now, when people are disposing them, or when the town's disposing of them, you burning them after, or is it just bagged and then once the limb dies and dries out completely, the spores don't spread?
There's about three different ways you can handle it. So the best is burning them. And so that's what we did with all the stuff we collected up. It actually got burnt this past week. And then you can bag them. If they're small, if you prune off the infected pieces, bag them, take them to the landfill, or you can also take them out to the landfill. The bigger branches, they have a burn pile there.
Yeah.
The Knockholt landfill, that's just east of here. Okay. Yeah. people to take them there. So that's now, the best way.
And now, because this is an audio format, can you explain to listeners what black knot looks like and how could they can identify it from also young, maybe like when it's starting to when it's
right.
when it's obviously
you got the big black tarry knot. Big. So so when it is, the first thing you'll notice very easily is that big black sort of tarry bubbly fungusy looking thing on your branches. So that then is, that's a mature black knot, and that's the one that will start releasing the spores as it's, once it's mature. It takes a year, at least a year, after the tree is infected in that spot wherever that spore landed, then it takes a year for that to become infected. And what happens initially is that you'll find a swelling where you shouldn't have a swelling. So it'll be around a branch. You'll see it, there's that area where those spores infected, it becomes swollen. It's unnaturally swollen. It's mm-hmm. green, it's still green, but that's part of the stem becomes very swollen. So that's a young black knot. So that's what you want to prune out as well. If you can notice it, especially on a young tree, and get the jump on it, then by the next year, give it that season, and the next season, it'll be turning black. And then it'll start to put out the spores. So it's hard to tell if you have black knot once the trees leaf out. The best time is in the early spring like this before they leaf out.
Yeah.
And that's when you can start noticing those big sort of ugly sores on your branches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not sure if you're, I don't know if you're going to give me an audio demonstration or whatever, but taking it up, it's merely like how far down the limb do you have to take it up? Is it spare the limb, save the tree sort of thing?
So when we do our pruning program here, it all depends on a tree by tree basis, like where the black knot is. So if it's up on a branch and out near the end or say in the middle of a branch, you want to be cutting at least 12 inches around, 8 to 12 inches from that infected area.
Okay.
And then you can spray with whatever you're using, your pruning shears or your pruning saw. You just give it a light spray with a 10% bleach solution, and that'll sanitize it between cuts too. So that really helps. But if the black knot is really prevalent, you basically keep cutting. You just cut the branches off, and we've had to remove a couple of trees this year because all the main stems were totally infected. So it was like, okay, now it's time. This tree has to get cut right down. So then I've had it before. Then depends on whether you want that kind of tree again or you want to take a chance on letting it grow, because it will shrub out again. And I've had some of the parks where I couldn't remove them that I've left them, and they haven't become reinfected with black knot yet.
Good.
Which is really nice, because then you can get a sort of regrow your tree, and it'll come in shrubby, like lots of stems. So you can prune those extra stems out and make it go back to tree form, or you can just have a shrubby bush.
Yeah.
So there's other trees that I've pruned faithfully every year. And this year I took out one young tree right downtown, because it just, no matter what I did, pruning and keeping on top of it, every stem each year was getting worse. But that's probably because it's closer to the epicenter of some of the other properties downtown that haven't had black knot removed. So the biggest thing is, don't plant matey trees in this area. Save your money, buy something else. And then the other thing is, realize that this is not a systemic infection. So if you have a young tree or a tree that you can prune every year, just prune out the infected pieces and you can still save your tree. At least, there's still hope down the road if we can get rid of all this extra black knot infected trees from Houston, that you don't have to totally eradicate that type of tree from Houston.
Oh, that's good to know.
So we had some beautiful Mayday trees, huge ones. They were over 30 feet tall on 12th Street down by our search and rescue and on the boulevard there. And they were so infected that we could not prune them and keep heads. We ended up removing them totally. And now, thanks to the BC Hydro Regreening Grant, we are going to replant that area this year with some coniferous species and some other ornamentals. And it'll make a lot of people happy, because folks were quite sad when we removed those big, beautiful trees. But like I said, once they leaf out, you don't see it. You don't see all the black knot and the level of or rate of infection that's happening in those trees. So it's easy to forget just how bad those trees are until they're totally dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. Thank you to Shirley Hamlin, the Operations Supervisor for Parks and Public Works in Houston, for educating me on black knot. Coast Mountain College is a post-secondary institution with campuses across the north. In our listening area, there are campuses in Smithers, Terrace, and Prince Rupert. In 2024, Canada introduced several important changes to its international student program to manage the growing number of foreign students, which included study permit caps for 2024 and 2025. A two-year cap on student permits has been introduced, limiting the number of international students allowed to enter Canada. And in 2024, the number of study permits issued dropped by 35%. The cap for 2025 will be reduced by a further 10%. Heather Bastian is the Executive Director of External Relations at Coast Mountain College. And I'm speaking to her about Coast Mountain College's new programs offered to domestic and Indigenous students and the effect of these study permit changes for international students on Coast Mountain College.
My name is Heather Bastian. I'm the Executive Director of External Relations at Coast Mountain College.
Thanks so much for making time to speak with me, Heather. So we're speaking about a report that I saw in the Smithers Town Council minutes. It was actually a report from Coast Mountain College, and it was about the uptick in domestic and Indigenous students in 2024 at Coast Mountain College. Would you be able to just kind of give a little scope of what the numbers looked like last year?
So I checked yesterday, and our applications overall for the college as a whole, so all of our campuses, have increased 30% as of yesterday. So that's May 6th. 30% this year compared to where we were last year, and that's for domestic students. While the college overall is up that much, our numbers actually for applications in Smithers are about the same right now as they were this time last year. But we're expecting, or I'm hoping at least, that in May and June we will see an increase in applications because we've added a variety of new programs for the Smithers campus this year.
So can you let me know what those programs are in Smithers and then also the other campuses as well, because we do try to reach both Prince Rupert as well as Terrace.
In Smithers, this September, students can register there to take the Social Service Worker Certificate, which is essentially the first year of a social work degree, but also prepares students for work in the social services. We are also offering the two-year early childhood education diploma out of the Smithers campus in person. We have carpentry apprenticeship level 4 running in the fall at the Smithers campus. And we have a post-degree diploma in professional accounting. And that is for people who already have a bachelor's degree in some discipline and have decided that accounting and getting their CPA designation might be something that they want to do. As well, we have open studies in business this year, which is new for us across all of our campuses. And that allows people who are perhaps mid-career professionals to just take one business course. Perhaps you run a business and you want to take a marketing course, or you need a little bit of a brush up on taxation and things like that. It doesn't require anyone to commit to a full degree or certificate. They just can take the one or two courses that are most relevant to their goals.
I'm not sure if you know this or if you have stats on this yet because it's recent, but how did the limit on international students in Canada and British Columbia, how did that affect Coast Mountain College in 2024?
So the limit, like the cap that was placed by the federal government wasn't an impact for us because we were already below those numbers for our institution. What did impact us significantly was some of the more detailed changes. Seems like the programs that international students would be interested in have changed because regulations have changed. So for example, we used to have a lot of students would come to us, they already had a bachelor degree from their home country in a particular topic, and they would come to us to do an additional 2 years of a post-degree business diploma to add 2 years of business studies to whatever their specialization already was. And then they could get a postgraduate work permit and stay in the area and work here for a couple of years. But with the changes placed in October, that limits which programs from at a college level that international students can take if they want to get that postgraduate work permit afterwards. So the interest in the college has been lost in terms of the two-year business program. And that has really dropped our applications significantly. And in addition, the changes that were rolled out through 2024 resulted in a lot of uncertainty in the post-secondary international education industry.
And just sorry to interject, do you mean the changes to immigration?
That's the changes to study permit issuing and postgraduate work permit issuing eligibility and the programming. There was a lot of changes that happened, and they all happened very quickly and in a little bit of a disorganized way because they were rolled out so quickly. And so as a result, Canada and the sector as a whole lost a lot of credibility with the international education sector. The uncertainty is still out there, and people just want dust to settle before they commit to taking these pretty huge life-changing steps and commitment of finances to come to Canada to study. Across the board, across Canada, the number of applications has dropped significantly. For us, it's down over 80%.
Wow.
And that means that we won't have as many students arriving in the fall as we would like. It may settle. It may improve next year. It's very difficult to know right now because things are just changing so quickly.
Okay, Heather, was there anything else that you wanted to speak to?
I would just say, so because of the change in the number of international students, inevitably some things are going to change for the college because that's a big shift for us. So we're in a year of calibration right now. We're offering a lot of programming in September, and I would really encourage people to consider upcoming for that programming and supporting it so that it continues in the region. So I really encourage people, if they've been thinking about signing up for a course, now is the time to do it.
Okay, great. And I guess just a deadline for applying for September courses, what's the deadline?
For local students, I believe the deadline is August 31st.
Oh.
I would encourage people to apply early because the popular courses do fill up. And sometimes it takes a while to get the appropriate documents together. For example, if you're looking at early childhood education, there's some additional documents that you need to gather, like a RCMP police check, for example, that takes a few weeks. So I would encourage people to start that process early. And we have lots of staff here to assist walking people through the various steps to get their applications in. So don't leave it till August 31st, even though that is probably the deadline. I would encourage people to start early.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time today, Heather.
You're very welcome. Thanks for your interest in the college. I really appreciate it.
CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague, Dan Messick, and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.